Okay, so two people I'm going to talk about, and the first one is a transgendered man, and he wrote quite a long letter, which I've cut down to something that would fit into a sermon. And it's a little pithy in spots, and I decided just to do the first letter of those pithy words in case they might offend somebody. Sam, I call him, says, I'm pretty quiet about the fact that I'm a trans man usually, but holy S, I need to tell you about the culture shock I'm going through because it's blindsiding me. There's a huge sense of social isolation that goes along with being perceived as a male, because now people are subconsciously treating me as a potential predator. All strangers, no matter their gender, keep their guard up around me. It made me realize that there's no inherent camaraderie in male socialization as there is in female socialization, unless, of course, if it's at very specific events. And the fact that I don't generally experience the mutual kinship in basic exchanges anymore is an insanely lonely feeling. It's 4:30 a.m., and I'm mourning the loss of a privilege I didn't even know I had.
Thanks, George.
Well, it sounds like Sam is going through culture shock to me. Men and women think that they live in the same world, but do we? And I think what he's saying is rather provocative, but it's very real in his own experience. And I think it's something really interesting to have coffee talk over afterwards. Is it true for you what Sam says? Are men so isolated? Are they considered predators? Do they lack camaraderie, except perhaps at a football game? One of my friends, who is a transgendered man, said that he was in a park and saw a small child crying, temporarily separated from his mother. And as a woman, he would have gone and picked the child up and calmed it and helped her to find her mother. But as a man, he stopped himself because he knew that it was possible that some people would mistake what he was doing with predatory behavior. And it made him feel very sad. That's a friend of mine. Sam, I don't know, but my friend gave me this letter. Sam continues, frankly, this is something I would never have understood without living this experience. It's now blatantly clear to me that most cis men, that's someone who was born male and continues to be a male, probably experience chronic emotional malnutrition. They're deprived of social connection just enough for it to seriously F with their psyches, but not enough for them to realize that it's happening and what's causing them. He goes on to talk about women and their responses to men. In the case of women, when I'm out in public and interact with women, all of them come off to me as incredibly aloof, cold, and mirthless. I've never experienced this before, even though I know exactly what this composure is. The armor that keeps away us creepy-ass men. As someone who used to wear it myself, I know this armor is 100% impersonal. Nobody likes wearing it. And I can say with absolute certainty that women would dump this armor in favor of unconditional companionship with men if doing this didn't run the risk of actual assault. Trust me when I say women aren't just being needlessly guarded. But I only have a complete understanding of this context because I've experienced female socialization. If I hadn't, I wouldn't have thought of this. I would have thought of this coldness, that it was a conspiracy against me devised by roughly half of the human population. The human species looks so much colder standing on this side. I can see how men might convince themselves that their feeling of emotional desperation is personal weakness, as opposed to a symptom that they're experiencing from white imperialism. Because this human connection is as essential for our well-being as water is. Whether this is your experience of the male-female divide, it is a stinging and thoughtful perspective. Maybe Jesus knew in reaching out to the beggar, the leper, the Republican, that we needed to learn the world from a perspective that was yet unknown to us. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Each generation has new ways of challenging us. And it's not only the primary issue that we need to consider thoughtfully, but it's the way that we treat the people that we consider to be other. We have so much to learn from the other, and the other seems to be perpetually inviting us into an unknown territory with each new generation. Isn't that the truth? I mean, I remember my grandmother saying, "What is happening in this world?" And then I heard my mother say this something similar, and now I'm saying it myself. Barbara Max Hubbard, speaker, co-founder, and president of the Foundation for Conscious Evolution, wrote a book called Conscious Evolution, Awakening the Power of Our Social Potential. She writes about her ideas in making a better society, as well as focusing on what the conscious mind can do if it's aware of its own power. She co-chaired a number of Soviet American citizens summits, introducing a new concept called SYNCOM to foster synergistic convergence with opposing groups. Again, the notion of being able to see the fullness of a person or a group and not just the surface or the stereotype. I recently heard from the Migration Policy Institute that we're presently undergoing the largest displacement and migration of people around the world in history. In their words, there's no doubt that 2022 will set another unenviable record. Something wrong with my mouth this morning. As the already record high population of the forcibly displaced swelled with millions of new entrants fleeing conflict and violence. The UN Refugee Agency announced on May 23rd that in the first few months of 2022, an additional 11.8 million people were forced to flee their homes. 11.8 million people. Can you imagine if somebody just came and said, "Get out," or that the tanks rolled up and you chose to get out? Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February 2022 has displaced millions beyond the Ukrainian borders and millions more inside the country. As of mid-July 22, close to 6 million refugees from the Ukraine were recorded across Europe, one of the biggest mass displacements since World War II, and comprised overwhelmingly of women and children. And so now to our second story about one of those Ukrainian refugees. Her name is Katya. In telling you about Katya, one of the points that I want to make is it all started with a small note in the church bulletin at the Bellingham UU Church. Something like Ukrainian refugee needing work in gardening or childcare or housework. And I thought, well, I could use some gardening. And I'm very interested in people from other countries and particularly feel passionate about what's going on in the Ukraine right now. So I called her and she asked me to text her because her English isn't really good enough to do all the fine points. But if she gets a text, then she can use Google Translate to translate. So anyway, my point on that is it just took that one little putting it in the newsletter, and then that was the end of Beth's interaction. Then I picked it up and said, oh, I'll hire her for this little job. And then talking to her, I got to know her a little bit. And I used to teach English as a second language, so I knew how to talk slowly in phrases with simple language. And we got along quite well. Anyway, I found out she's 35 years old. She comes from Mariupol. Her house was bombed and no longer exists. She and her 10 siblings and the parents, some had already emigrated and some emigrated at that point if they could. Two were unable to get papers to do that. One was killed. So she came to be with her sister and brother-in-law in Linden. And about 2 months after she arrived, he got a job down in Portland. So the sister and brother-in-law moved down there, and here she was all by herself. And she's getting, I think, a total of $625 from DHS to help her in the adjustment period. But the rent that she's paying in subsidized housing is $400 a month, and there are four women who are paying that, so it's over $1,600 a month, plus utilities. So there are four women in this little apartment, two small children, a nine-month-old and a three-year-old, and a baby that's going to be born next month. She came to Linden with one suitcase of all her things. Couldn't even bring her laptop. So I asked her what it was like before we met. And I discovered later that she had about a week left to stay in the apartment that her sister and brother-in-law had left her in. And all that she had there was a very thin foamy on the ground with a thin covering over her. One plate, one glass, one spoon or knife or fork or something. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, I asked her what it was like before we met, and she said, I didn't sleep at night because I had panic attacks and had terrible dreams. I woke up in the middle of the night and crying. It was often. I was very sad, and I prayed to God a lot that he would help with my failures, to give me jobs and things that you give me. So I got the idea to give her a shower. The way my system works is my mouth opens and words come out, and then my brain says, what did you just say? That's gotten me into a number of things in my life. But usually they work out okay. I put together, I asked Katya if she would make a list of everything she could think of. I mean, down to she had things like needles and threads, and she had things like couches and beds. So, you know, the whole spectrum of things. And I sent that out to about a dozen people, friends. I didn't send it to the church because at the moment we're supporting a Syrian family and we're supporting getting them going, and I didn't want to compete with that. So I just sent it out to my Mahjong group, my women's spirituality group, and a couple of extra friends. And some of them sent it to their friends. One was in Minnesota. She sent it out to two of her friends in Minnesota. Another neighbor across the street sent it out to her sister and her niece. And, you know, it kind of went that way. And when we came to the shower, of the 106 things on her list, she got 100. Isn't that amazing? We were still missing the couch, the dining room furniture, well, living room furniture and dining room furniture, and the laptop. Those were the big ones, and a winter coat. And she got $825 in cash donations. And I have one of the friends who was part of this is going to take her to the bank and open a bank account with her. She had a bank account and money in the account in the Ukraine. But when the Russians came in, the bank closed and they lost all their money. So, and then two people have offered to walk with her every week so that she can practice her English. So suddenly she has this group of people around her, surrounding her and supporting her through the inevitable bumps that come. Well, I got really excited. I was just overwhelmed by the response to this and how lifted up she was. So I put it on Nextdoor. Do you know Nextdoor? That networking thing online. And just wanted to share the story of success. I wanted to inspire other people to maybe do something like that. And all of a sudden, people started sending me, does she need a couch? Well, yes, she does need a couch. Now she has a couch. Does she need a dining room furniture? Yes, she does need dining room furniture. They were offering all this stuff. It's been a crazy week, I'll tell you. Even up to this morning, driving down here, I got a call from a woman who said, I have a partner who died and left a lot of things. Can we talk? So that night and in the next few days, people offered the couch, the dining room set, chests, desks, beds, and more gift cards and a winter jacket. As all of this was accumulating and the shower approached, this is before the shower, and she realized things were coming in, I said to Katya, how are you feeling now? This was like a week after I'd asked her the previous time. Katya said, yes, I have almost no panic attacks now, and I cry less. I thank God for everything he gives me. I pray for everyone who helps me, for every person, and I try to give kindness to this world. I'm glad that I have communication. This is an incentive to move on, regardless of everything. I smile more. Well, the shower was a love fest that I think none of us expected. My family room was filled with boxes and mattresses and all kinds of stuff, which I was delighted with. Fortunately, the cleaning woman was coming next week. 2 days after the shower, Katya said, during my stay in America, this is the best week of my life. I feel inspired and motivated. It's like I got a second wind. Now that my room has become cozy, I have the first feeling of home. I so wanted to feel the comfort of home warmth again. When I came to the shower party, I was very worried. But after talking with everyone, my heart became warm and joyful. Oh boy. I'm grateful for your boundless love. You are like one family, and I want to be part of this family. Light comes from you, and I want to be like you. Your presence, people give me hope and encouragement. Truly, the outpouring of love has been amazing. And I think not only for Katya, but for the people who gave. So many people said to me, thank you so much for this opportunity. I've been wanting to do something for the Ukraine. And many of them said, and I much prefer doing it for someone personally rather than for a big organization. So the journey continues. Now Katya has moved into her three-bedroom apartment with three other women, a three-year-old and a nine-month-old, and a baby due next month. And her perspective is changing yet again. Yesterday, she sounded quite down, and I asked her what was going on, and she said, I think I'll find another place to live. It's hard to live here. I love children, but they always scream, and there will be another one soon. Tomorrow evening, guests will come to the girls, which is what she calls two of the other women. I don't know them. Dot, 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 dot. And she has noticed a lot of bad activities in the community, the subsidized housing that she's in. She saw a man shooting up with a needle in his arm right across from her building and her apartment. However, Katya knows this period is temporary. She says it's providing an increase in self-knowledge. Still, it's hard in so many ways. Memories of the war, her lost home, the scattering of her family, a loss of a happy lifestyle in a country she loves. And the strain of trying to communicate in a new language is exhausting. Still, I know that she will be successful in this country. She's a hard worker. She has an engaging disposition and common sense. It's not surprising that her perceptions of her life are up and down. They will level out as her life becomes more regulated and predictable, and she now has a good start with supportive friends. In fact, one of the people has hired her to look after her dog and house for a month, starting in a couple of weeks. And she's also offered that she can come and live with her if she wants to. So, and she said, you know, she'll help me and I'll help her, which would be great. And a PS to Castia's story. When I posted this good news story on Nextdoor, I had no idea how hungry people are for good news. Are you hungry for good news? Most postings on Nextdoor get from just a few to maybe 20 clicks. As of this morning before I left, there were 298 clicks on Katia's story. And I think that that's a testimony to our hunger and our desire to do something. Of those, I don't know, maybe 20 have offered things. I think of all the refugees and immigrants who've been forced to leave their homes, families, friends, and the way of life they've always known. It's a roller coaster of hell. And if they're lucky, they'll get some government assistance in the months they have to get their feet under them. And if they're really lucky, they'll get some kindness from people who just happen to do one little thing, which leads to another little thing, which leads to another thing. Their perspectives, the perspectives of those with disabilities, those who are transgendered, indeed, each one of our communities who doesn't fit into the middle of the pack or the norm, they have much to teach us. Each one of us is from our own particular life with particular perspectives, wisdom, prejudices, blind spots. And it seems to me that this current mass migration due to climate change, wars, and famine is calling us to come together, each from our own little perspective of the world. Nature is forcing us together. You may be the spark plug, the phone connector, the organizer, the picker-upper, the inspirer. Sometimes teams take extensive organization, but often they're spontaneous and quite marvelous, as this one has been. In the words of Barbara Max Hubbard, you move evolution forward by bringing people together. Let's be a positive force for evolution and step up, each one of us, when we are called to do what we had no idea was possible to do. Amen and blessed be.